This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
Let's seek knowledge. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about the importance of seeking knowledge. طيب. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, we will spend around 40 minutes talking about the importance of seeking knowledge. And this is a reminder for everyone about the virtues and the excellence of seeking the Sharia knowledge. I would like to start my speech tonight by mentioning a story. I heard it from one of the Muslim speakers and I liked it, and I think it's very significant about the importance of Sharia knowledge. So this man said it was reported that a college graduate wanted to have a trip on the sea. Wanted to look at the mountains around the sea and the nature, and so he went to the seafront, and he hired a boat or cruiser, and then he sailed into the sea with the owner of the boat. And this college graduate, it seemed that he was very excited about. He just graduated from college, he just finished school, and he was very excited about the knowledge he accumulated in his school. So he asked the owner of the boat, "Do you know any mathematics? Have you studied mathematics? Do you know any math?" He said, "No." So he said, "Man, a quarter of your life is gone." And then he asked him, do you know anything about psychology?" He said, "No, I never went to school. I have no knowledge about psychology." He said, "Half of your life is gone." And then he asked him the third question. He said, "Do you know anything about philosophy?" He said, "No, not a clue." And then when they were having a discussion, the weather conditions started to change, and a storm started to develop in the middle of the sea. And their boat was going right and left. So the sailor or the boat owner asked him a question, "Do you know how to swim?" So the guy said, "No." He said, "Your whole life is gone." Your whole life is gone. So this is the example of Sharia knowledge. If we study all subjects of knowledge, we study all the skills of this worldly life, but we don't learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we might end up like this college graduate who might have lost his life because he did not learn how to swim. For everything we do, dear brothers and sisters, in this life, we need to have the appropriate skills and the right knowledge. And this is a well-known fact of this life. Everything you do, you need some training, you need some knowledge, you need some learning. When it comes to the test of your life, which is fulfilling the requirement of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the test of our life. We were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. That is the purpose. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So when it comes to this test, the test of our life, then things are not different. We cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ignorance. We cannot serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ignorance. We cannot rectify the conditions of ourselves, our families, and our communities with ignorance. And ignorance is not a bliss, as some people say. It is not a blessing, it will never be a blessing. And as I said, if we study all the subjects of knowledge, but we don't study the Sharia, the deen, the Sharia knowledge, the fiqh of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fiqh of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we may lose ourselves and lose our families on the Day of Judgment. Actually, in this life, on the Day of Judgment, many people are suffering in this life because they don't know what to do and they don't know why they are here in this life. What is interesting about Sharia knowledge or Islamic knowledge is that it answers the most important questions in your life as a human beings. It tells you how to make the most of your role, your role that you were meant or you were born to play in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for you for a purpose. So this Sharia knowledge tells you how to fulfill the requirements of this role. It tells you what is haram and what is halal. It tells you how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way. It tells you about the nature of your creator. Many people are lost in this life. They don't know why they are here, who created them. And many people have doubt. Yeah, people in the old days, they used to have, you know, they used to believe in Jesus and Christianity and Judaism. They had some attachment to the religion. But nowadays, many people are lost and they have doubt about everything. And they still have these questions in mind, but they don't want to believe. They don't want to know the answers. And some of them are confused because there are many answers out there. So the Sharia knowledge tells you the nature of your Creator, the nature of your Lord. What are His qualities? What are His attributes? What are His names? What is the nature of His power? The nature of His knowledge? The nature of His wisdom? What kind of relationship you should have with your Creator? What kind of relationship you should have with your parents? What kind of relationship you should have with your neighbors? What kind of relationship you should have with your family, with your wife, with your children? So Islamic knowledge tells you about all these things. And tonight, inshallah, we would like to remind ourselves about the value and the excellence of Islamic knowledge in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only a reminder. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I know many of you are familiar with this hadith, familiar with this ayat, but it's good to be reminded about these divine revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. This ayah is in Surah Al-Mujadala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah will raise those among you who have believed and those who were given knowledge by degrees. And Allah is acquainted with what you do or with all what you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He exalts the people of knowledge, the believers who believed among humans, among His creation. He would exalt the degree, the status, and the rank of those who believed in Him, believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Day of Judgment, and His messengers. And He would exalt the ranks and the status of those who have knowledge among the believers. And if we look at the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to many scholars who lived in the early days, just something to think about tonight. Think about Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmed, their students, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, Imam Al-Awza'i, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Al-Qayyim. There are many scholars who passed away. They have written their books, Imam Al-Nawawi, and they have left a legacy behind. Whenever they are mentioned in a majlis, in a halaqa and a khutbah, people would say, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. And this is something that is happening till the Day of Judgment. In every khutbah, and think how many khutbahs are delivered in the Muslim world. In every halaqa, and think about how many halaqas are being done, organized in the Muslim world. Whenever a halaqah is done or a khutbah, the speaker usually would say, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. The speaker would invoke Allah's mercy and blessings upon that scholar. Yeah, Imam Malik doesn't know that we are mentioning him here, rahimahullah, or Imam Ahmed, rahimahumullahu jami'an. They don't know that we are talking about them. But because these dedicated their time and their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompensated them. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them with this blessing. People are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon them, I said, till the day of judgment. Till the day of judgment, yani hundreds of years. Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i, they lived in the early days of Islam, in the second, and the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Sahaba are special people, but we say radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, because of the honor of, you know, living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even those who are not scholars among them, whenever we mention them, we say, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran that he is pleased with the Sahaba, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of judgment, their ranks will be higher because their rewards in this dunya and in the hereafter are multiplied. Whenever they teach an ayah, whenever they teach a hadith, whenever they teach a sharia ruling, and some people act upon this knowledge, then they will have a similar reward to those, to the reward of those who acted upon this knowledge. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, an authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim. He said in this hadith, "Man da'a ila hudan." فَلَهُ كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلُ أُجُورِ مَنْ تَبِعَهُ لَا يُنْقِسُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا. This is in Sahih Muslim. He said, whoever calls others to a guidance, to guidance will have reward like the rewards of those who follow him, without that reducing from the reward in any way. So it does not diminish their reward, but he will get the same reward like those people who acted upon this knowledge. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something beautiful about knowledge, did not command His messenger to ask for an increase in anything except knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And this is in Surah Taha, chapter 20. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to His messenger. He didn't say, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي مَالًا, oh Allah, increase me in wealth. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي جَاهًا وَشَرَفًا, oh Allah, increase me in honor. Even taqwa, which is something يعني, very virtuous, something that is required through this taqwa, we will enter and shall please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go to Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to make dua to him, to increase him in knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this knowledge will lead to taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only those who have knowledge among His servants that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, ya ikhwan, this is the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His messenger to ask for an increase from. This is the only thing, which is knowledge. That is because knowledge is the source or the basis of all good. It is, yani, many actions will be based, through knowledge will be based on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot achieve the status of taqwa without knowledge. You cannot be a muttaqi, a pious person, without knowledge. You can't. Because you have to have knowledge, you have to know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you reach that level of taqwa. And then you deserve the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You deserve the Jannah of Rabbil Alameen. In the Sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to encourage his companions to seek knowledge. And he did it in many ways. In many ways. He used all educational, all positive reinforcement, all educational aids and tools to encourage them to seek knowledge. He did not leave anywhere. It was not very formal. Like, he would not come call people for a halaqah at 7 o'clock and then he would deliver a speech. He would be walking with someone and then he would tell him a hadith and teach him about story. He would be eating, having lunch with someone else, and he would teach him about the tafsir of an ayah. It was very informal, but it was very powerful. His ways, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to teach people were very powerful, very effective. And the sahaba were able to memorize those, you know, those stories. And he used to tell them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man salaka tariqan يبتغي به علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة أو سلك به رواية أخرى سلك به طريقا إلى الجنة. Whoever embarks on the path of knowledge, or whoever embarks on the path of seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease his way to Jannah. And this is a great honor. This is actually a glad tiding given to anyone who is seeking knowledge, who is involved in this business of al-akhirah, seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you need to make some effort. You need to make some effort. If you make this effort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to study the hadith, learn the ayat, the meaning of the ayat, listen to some lectures, and you spend this some time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your way to Jannah easy. He will make it easy for you. And this is a beautiful and a glad tiding given to those who are seeking knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to, as I said, to encourage his companions in different ways. One time he said, "La hasada illa fi ithnatain." La hasada illa fi ithnatain. Rajulun atahu Allah malan fa huwa yunfiquhu fi sabilillah. Wa rajulun atahu Allah ilman fa huwa yahkumu bihi wa yuallimuhu an-nas. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, only two people or two persons are worthy of being invited. A person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given wealth and money, and he has given him the power to spend it in the right way. So having wealth is not enough. You need to add that something. You spend this wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way. And a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given knowledge, has granted knowledge, by which he judges and which he teaches. So, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين, he said, only these two people should be invited. He used the word hasad. Hasad usually has a very negative meaning, very negative connotation. Because hasad, the definition of hasad is to wish that the ni'mah that was given to your brother be removed from his hands. And this is evil. This is an evil feeling. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not mean this, you know, this hasad, this haram, jealousy. He meant al-ghibta, when you wish that you have the same thing. You see someone who is wealthy, has money, and he is spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is sponsoring orphans and building masajid and spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you wish that you have the same thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to congratulate his companions whenever they correctly answer a question. Like one time in Sahih Muslim collected a hadith that he asked Ubay ibn Ka'b. And his kunya was Abu al-Mundhir. Ya Abu al-Mundhir, ma a'zamu ma hiya a'zamu ayatin fil Qur'an. He said, what is the greatest ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Abu al-Mundhir recited to him Ayat al-Kursi. He gave him the right answer. So he kindly patted him on his chest and he said, فَلْيَهْنَ الْعِلْمُ يَا أَبَا الْمُنْذِرِ. Congratulations with this knowledge, O Abu al-Mundhir. So he used to encourage them and congratulate them whenever they correctly answer question or make the right judgment. He used to supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to bless his companions with the fiqh of ad-deen. And fiqh of ad-deen is not the fiqh that we find in the books of fiqh. It's the right understanding of the deen. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said one time, that Rasulullah ﷺ, the Prophet of Allah, embraced me and he said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu al-ta'wil. Oh Allah, grant him the right understanding of the deen. And here the right understanding, al-fiqhu fi al-deen, is very significant, ya akhwan. Because many people seek knowledge, but they don't treat knowledge in the right way. They might be actually misguided because they are not dealing with knowledge in the right way. They might become arrogant, they might have a wrong understanding of the deen. So the right understanding of the deen is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu al-ta'wil. 'Allimhu al-ta'wil, teach him the right understanding of the book. Bless him with the knowledge of the book, which is the Quran. And that's why most of the tafsir we got in the books of tafsir is coming from Ibn Abbas. Most of the mufassirin who narrated the tafsir, the meaning of the ayat, if you go to tafsir al-Tabari, tafsir Ibn Kathir, most of them are the students of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. This is the barakah of this dua, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he used to make dua for anyone who heard his sayings and conveyed them as he heard them. نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ مْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. He said, may Allah brighten the face of someone who heard my saying, retains it, and then conveys it as he heard it. فَرُبَّ سَامِعٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ مُبَلِّغٍ. He said, someone who would receive this knowledge could be more knowledgeable than the one who is relating this knowledge. So someone would hear the hadith from Rasulullah ﷺ, but he's not a faqih. But what was his job is to relay the hadith, to convey the hadith as he heard it, the way he heard it. He doesn't add anything. He doesn't omit anything from the hadith. He does not delete anything from the hadith. But the person who would hear the hadith from him could be more knowledgeable, could have more understanding, the power of understanding the hadith. That's why we have some sahaba who memorized many ahadith. They narrated thousands of ahadith, but we don't consider them fuqaha. They are not fuqaha. But there are some other sahaba did not narrate as much, but they are fuqaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with the understanding of the deen, like مثلا ibn Umar. When you compare the narrations of Abdullah ibn Umar or the narrations of Umar ibn Khattab himself, who is a khalifa and a great mujtahid, Abu Bakr, he was a mujtahid. When you compare the numbers of narrations that they have narrated with the narrations that Abu Huraira narrated, there is a big difference. Abu Huraira memorized more than 5,000 hadith. But they are more knowledgeable than him when it comes to fiqh and detecting sharia ruling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created people and he has given them different abilities. And that's why we complement each other as a Muslim ummah. Yeah, and someone could be very powerful in the science of hadith. He got some knowledge, he understands, he has a better understanding when it comes to the hadith. But another scholar, he's not that knowledgeable in the science of hadith, but he could be blessed with the fiqh, with the right understanding. So he would get the hadith from that scholar, and he would deduct or derive many masail, many beautiful matters from these hadith. There is a beautiful hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned, and it is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and some other books. And this hadith was narrated in different narrations, many narrations. And the majority of the ulama, they said it is hadith sahih. Like Sheikh al-Albani and some other scholars, they said it is sahih. They are the majority. Some of them, they said it is da'if. Like Imam al-Tirmidhi, he believes himself, who narrated the hadith, he believes that the hadith is not sahih. But there are some parts of it, many parts actually of this hadith were narrated in some other authentic hadiths. But the hadith has a very interesting story. So in this hadith, Imam al-Tirmidhi is narrating from some people. There is a chain of narration. And until he comes to An Qais ibn Kathir. He said, قَالَ قَدِمَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ عَلَى أَبِي الدَّرْدَاء. Abu Darda used to live in Damascus, in Dimashq, the capital city of Syria nowadays. He spent the rest of his life there and he passed away in Damascus, and his grave now is in Damascus. Abu Darda رضي الله عنه was one of the Sahaba. So قَدِمَ رَجُلٌ, a man came, he said a man came to visit Abu Darda, when he was in Dimashq, in Damascus. So he said, Abu Darda told him, مَا أَقْدَمَكَ يَبْنَ أَخِي. He said, what brings you, my nephew? Ibn Akhi, it's a way of showing respect to the person. When you call him, you're trying to tell him that we have a close relationship. When you show him, we treat him in a friendly way. You're trying to be courteous with him. So it was their way to address each other. So he said, مَا أَقْدَمَكَ يَبْنَ أَخِي. What brings you, O my nephew? He replied, a hadith that has reached me, which you have narrated from the Messenger of Allah. So he said, حَدِيثٌ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ تُحَدِّثُهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أَمَا جِئْتَ لِحَاجَةٍ. He said, you didn't come for any need, for any other thing? He said, no. He said, did you come for a trade? هَلْ جِئْتَ أَمَا جِئْتَ لِتِجَارَةٍ أَمَا قَدِمْتَ لِتِجَارَةٍ. Did you come for trade? So he said, no. So he said, indeed, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَبْتَغِي فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. This first part is authentic. There is no doubt about it. It was collected in Sahih Muslim, and it was also narrated in many other authentic hadith. So there is no problem with this part. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَبْتَغِي بِهِ عِلْمًا. And we mentioned this hadith previously. He said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَبْتَغِي بِهِ عِلْمًا سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever, he said, seeks knowledge, or whoever takes a path upon which he seeks knowledge, then Allah makes a path, or makes his path to Jannah, makes it easy. And indeed, he said, the angels, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِضًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. And this is a great honor. He said, the angels lower their wings in approval for the one seeking knowledge. And here the ulama, of course, they explained this hadith, and they said they showed their approval by lowering their wings. They showed their humbleness to the seekers of knowledge. It's a sign of protection because they have big, you know, they have big wings, and they, when they lower their wings, it's a sign of protection, like they are protecting the people of knowledge, the people who are seeking knowledge. And he said, وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِيتَانُ فِي الْمَاءِ. حَتَّى الْحِيتَانُ فِي الْمَاءِ. He said, forgiveness, indeed forgiveness is sought. This is Abu Darda narrating from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed forgiveness is sought for the people of knowledge by everything in the heavens and everything in the earth, including fish in the water. Even fish in the water are making istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those who are involved in knowledge and seeking knowledge. He says, وَفَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And he said, the superiority of a scholar over a worshipper is like the superiority of the moon over the other planets. What is special about the moon? What is the excellence of the moon? Naam? It reflects light. So here, ilm, the ilm of sharia, it's like a light. And it is a light. When you have the sharia knowledge, then you have this light, you can use it in your life. You know where you place your steps. You know what to do in this life. You know how to deal with the challenges of this life. You know how to treat your children, how you raise your children. You know how to deal with your wife. You know how to deal with your business. So everything is your life. It's like a light. It's like you are walking in a darkness, in the darkness, and you have some light with you. That is the example of Sharia knowledge. And he said, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. Another aspect of their honor. He said, إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. Indeed, the scholars are the heirs of the prophets. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. And we know, yes, that the prophets did not leave inheritance behind them. That's why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did not want to give the land that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind to Fatima and his family members. Because he heard the Messenger of Allah saying, even though he loves the family of the Prophet, he loves them. But he said, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I have to obey the Messenger of Allah. He did not give them from the inheritance, the land that he left. He left a piece of land behind. They believed that Abu Bakr actually he was against the family of the Prophet. But Abu Bakr was only obeying the command of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet did not leave a dirham or a dinar or any wealth for inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it this way. What is their inheritance? Is knowledge. إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Their only legacy is this knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. And whoever takes from it, then he has taken a great share. He has taken a great share. And this is a great honor to be the heir of the prophets and messengers because they are the best of Allah's creation on this earth. So if these ahadith do not encourage us to seek knowledge, I don't know what will encourage us to seek knowledge. And we have to, ya ikhwan, to make, you know, this the project of our life, seeking knowledge. Nowadays, unfortunately, is being reduced to a kind of entertainment. Many people nowadays, they come to a halaqah whenever they have time. Whenever they have time, they open a book and read. So it's not that we're not serious about seeking knowledge. I'm not talking about other people, I'm talking about myself and everyone. We're not really serious about, you know, seeking Sharia knowledge. And that's why we have many problems and we are facing as communities. And one of our suffering, one of our problems in every community is division. You see every community, look at every community in the world. That they are divided, they have many groups, they have many masajids, they have the many centers, they don't cooperate, they don't work with each other. And the root of this division is the lack of Sharia knowledge. Because if we understand only one concept, مثل فرض الكفاية, for example, the collective obligation, فرض الكفاية. What is beautiful about فرض الكفاية, ikhwan? Fard al-kifaya, if it is not fard ayn, different from fard ayn. Fard ayn is individual, personal obligation. Everyone has to do it by himself, like salat or giving zakat. No one can pray on your behalf. No one can give zakat on your behalf. If you have money, you are able to give it. Or fasting. But fard al-kifaya, if a group of people do it, then the rest of the ummah will be relieved. Like مثلاً praying, offering salat al-janaza on someone who has passed away. If someone passes away in the city of Calgary and no one offers Salat al-Janaza on him, then the whole community of Calgary, Muslim community, will be sinful. Everyone will be taken to account because there is a Muslim who passed away in the city of Calgary and no one offers Salat al-Janaza on him. But if a group of people come together, 200 people, 300 people, and they offer Janaza on him, then the whole community will be relieved from this obligation. If a group of people, مثلا, established a markaz or something that is beneficial to the ummah, to the community, and they are offering some services, and these services are fard kifaya. Fard kifaya, that means they have to exist in that community, in every community. Like مثلا, teaching. Teaching the ulama, they said in every community, in every village, in every city, we have to have some people who are fuqaha. They have to dedicate their life to study the deen and then they teach other people. You go to some villages, but then you don't find an imam. They don't have an imam. Or they don't have someone to teach them the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an obligation upon them to ask someone or to send someone to learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come back to this community and teach them the Sharia knowledge. These are furud al-kifaya. Furud al-kifaya is not only about the deen, it could be مثلا, medical science. As a Muslim community, we need medical doctor, we need computer scientist. It could be a fard kifaya if we need it for our survival as a community. So fard al-kifaya is a broad aspect, and it's a beautiful aspect because everyone will be relieved from this obligation if a group of people fulfill this obligation. Now, what is beautiful about it? That the people who didn't do it should be actually what? Should be happy and making dua to those who relieved them from this obligation. But what's happening nowadays in our communities? People are not happy if they see you doing something, they are not happy because you are not doing in my name. You didn't ask me, you didn't consult with me. You should include my name there. And this is the source of division. He's doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for the sake of something else, but it is there. And it is beneficial. Because someone could do something for this, something else, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's his problem on the Day of Judgment, but other Muslims could benefit from it. I'm not saying we should have the wrong intention, we should always strive for the right intention. But there will be a case when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give support, offer support to his deen through someone who is not pious, who is fajr. He's someone, he's sinful. But he would do something for whatever reason, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow other people to benefit from his, achievement or whatever he did for the community or for the ummah. Nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuwaffiqana li kulli khair. Nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yufaqihana fi deen wa an yu'allimana ta'wil. If you have any question, we have 5 minutes left before we pray Isha. Pray Isha inshaAllah at 8 o'clock. Now, just something to mention before we finish, inshallah. I'll let you, inshallah, ask if you have questions. We're planning to have a youth activity after Friday, halaqa. Every night, in a different place, very close to this place. We talked to them and they said it is available. It is a basketball court. And we'd like to encourage our youth to go and play basketball. Not for the sake of basketball, we want to spend some time with our youth and attract them to the halaqa, to the deen, to the masajid. They come here and then they go. So we want you to invite other people, especially the young people, to invite them to this halaqa. I know the weather conditions are not very helpful tonight. They are not, alhamdulillah, jazakumullahu khairan for coming for this halaqa. May Allah reward you greatly. But we need your help. So we are not going to do it tonight. We will start maybe by the end of November or the beginning of December. So we'll have a group of youth, young people, going after the halaqa. They start at 8:30 and they finish at 10:30, 2 hours, playing basketball. And just to encourage our youth, inshallah, to do some physical activities and to come to the halaqa. To come to the halaqa first, and they go with the rest of the young people who attended the halaqa to play some, do some physical activities. Taib, do you have any question?
Sheikh, you mentioned Sharia Salat, Fiqh Salat, but when you start in the beginning, which kutub you can use
it? It depends which branch of knowledge you're talking about. Yani, which branch of knowledge you're talking about?
About Riyad Salihin.
Riyad Salihin is a good book. Yani, you want to study hadith, but if you want to memorize, مثلاً, a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe just to motivate yourself, don't start with Riyad Salihin because it's a big book. You might memorize 3 or 4, and then you say, "Oh my God! I cannot memorize this book." But if you start with the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. 40 is not, 40 hadith is, it's not a big number. So if you start, you say every 1 week I will memorize one hadith, or 2 weeks I memorize one hadith, then that will be beautiful. I think you should be able to do it. Also, don't forget about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the opportunity here to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are teachers. We have teachers who are available here every Sunday morning, every Wednesday in the evening. Sheikh Hatim used to come here for 10 years maybe, for 10 years. Every Sunday, mashallah, morning is coming. And we have only a small group of people who are coming every Sunday morning and every Wednesday. Talking about myself, I was not excited about going to Sheikh Hatim until I saw one of our students completing the Quran. I said to myself, "Yani, I didn't complete the Quran. Maybe I should go to Sheikh Hatim and study with him." So I'm going to Sheikh Hatim with the rest of the students and studying Quran with him. So you should start with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, if you want to study hadith, start with Al-Arba'in Al-Nawawiyyah. Don't start with Riyad Al-Salihin or Sahih Al-Bukhari. These are big books. Riyad Al-Arba'in Al-Nawawiyyah, then you study their meanings, and then you move to another book, to a different level, and so on. If you want to study fiqh, the ulama, they said it is the best way to study one madhab. Start with a small book in one madhab. One madhab. It's not an invitation to be narrow-minded or to follow madhahib blindly. But when it comes to methodology, I think it's the best way. With the condition that you don't follow a madhab blindly. You don't say later on, I'm Shafi'i. I don't want to listen to any other opinion. And Maliki, I don't care about the other. No. But for the sake of learning, make it easy for you. Study with one. Start with one madhab, small booklets, in one madhab, and then you move on. Yeah, but you try to, when you study knowledge, you don't do it by yourself. Don't do it by yourself. Listen to the explanation of some scholars online. If it is available, we don't have, you know, here systematic halaqat, you know, of fiqh, because people they used to say, oh, it's these dry, we don't want these dry subjects. These are dry subjects, and they will not, when we keep learning these subjects, people are not going to be motivated to come to the halaqat. Let's keep talking about general subjects. Yani some tafsir, some hadith, some fiqh from here and so on. But and if you want to be serious about knowledge, you need to do it in a different way.
Sheikh, back home, they stay in life like people that come every day, masjid, every night, by Maghrib Shai. But here it's a little bit difficult.
It is difficult. People are, yeah. Online, there are some universities now. Online universities who are offering some programs, like مثلاً university was established by Sheikh. What is the name of the Islamic online university? And there is Knowledge International University. There are some universities who are offering some programs online. You can subscribe with them and do complete a degree. يعني you follow. You study subject by subject with teachers online, and you have curriculum, you have books, and yeah. Any other question before we, just one question, one extra question, then we finish, inshallah. Okay. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahu wa hamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. We'll see you next halaqa, inshallah. Next halaqa will be about the same subject, but it will be etiquettes of seeking knowledge. Tonight is the importance of seeking knowledge. Next halaqa will be etiquettes of manners of seeking knowledge. And then after that, Sheikh Naveed will start a series of halaqa till middle of January. And then I'll come back after January, inshallah, in the middle of January, and start a new program. Jazakum Allahu khairan, barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless your time. Nas'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yataqabbala min al-jami'.